Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to the show. You are listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Thanks for joining. No matter if you're a principal, a student, or vocals on bass, no matter the role, you have a purpose and you're leading in that purpose. Our goal here is simple, to inspire and equip all to lead where they are, to get us on cue. Our mission here at Cue Leadership is get us on cue with God's will, and get us on cue with his calling on our lives, which is our purpose, and get us on cue with that, get others on cue with that purpose. You know, what is cue? It is how Nehemiah in ancient Jerusalem, a model transformational leader, led a starved, desperate people in building a wall around Jerusalem and building a way of life. He cued them up. And Cue, the acronym for Cue is C-U-E. C is for building common ground. It's what we can agree on. It's really the why. U is unified thought. What's the vision we can share? It is the what. And E, equally yoked. It is the how. What is really the game plan? What's my role in it? What's the end game? What does success look like? So Cue Leadership integrates biblical principles of leadership using Nehemiah as a model and helping you and get others to do, number one, to get them to trust you, and number two, to get them to follow you, really discipleship. You know, so we start off this morning with our normal prayer. Lord, you're a powerful, living, merciful God. We thank you for this day. Lord, lead us and bless us with this ministry and our audience. And Lord, all that is serving you, we honor you today by doing two things, giving you the glory and impacting this generation. So, Lord, we know that Cue Leadership is your brainchild and our calling. So Romans 12:2 calls us not to be conformed to this world, yet to be transformed by renewing of your mind. So lead us, Lord, and raise us in transformation leaders and chiefs and gatekeepers in your name. So please use this ministry to help others hear the call, receive the call. In other words, understand that there is a higher calling in this journey is for every leader, and we pray that we be open and we hear you and not me. Let your word shine through us and help us have the right questions no matter the difference. Help us all to remember that this life is about Christ, and there is a difference of opinion, there's no doubt, but let us do what a true transformation leader said. Let us agree without being disagreeable. So let's be thought partners and have a fruitful dialogue this morning. Amen to that. As we have, you know, our goal here is to help people lead where they are, have a dialogue, have a conversation about leadership in God's word, equip you and us, the leaders, with a roadmap to tap into faith and to build trust and discipleship. Everyday leaders who are making a difference, you can testify to God's glory. We try to highlight them. So our show here is not to criticize, but shine a light in truth and love. It is not to tell you what to do, provide a lens to see things. It is not to focus on the mere symptoms of the problem, but the root of the problem is really to treat the infection. So this week, the world begins to celebrate. I say celebrate and not mourn the life of one of God's transformational leaders, who was on cue with God's will, who was on cue with his calling on his life and his purpose, and he got the world on cue with that person. That person is Nelson Mandela. And there's not a lot I could say, of course, that you don't already know. But, you know, last night I asked some friends and family that's, you know, about what are some words or words that come to mind when we think about Mandela. And some of these were wise, courageous, humble, wisdom, leader, grace, dedicated, overcomer. You know, for all these words resonates for me, and those words that come to mind, I would add servant, purposeful, elegant, warrior, chief, a difference maker. If you were to sum all those up, difference maker is probably one that really sticks out for me. And how appropriate that we kick off our difference maker series this week with a true difference maker. We hope to honor him more extensively next week, but wanted to kick off the show with a moment in the life of Nelson Mandela. In his inauguration speech in 1994, he quotes Marianne Wilson, her Course of Miracles, and he says, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is not that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightening about shrinking so that others won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We are born to make the manifest of God's glory within us. And it's not to just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our light shine, we unconsciously give people permission to do the same. And as we are liberated from our fear, our presence automatically liberates others. So, and he also went on to say, last evening he was gathered at a church basement in a speaking together around Common Valley, and a child asked him, what was the scariest moment that you ever faced when you were homeless? What disturbed you the more than anything when you were on the streets? And Mandela said, before I answer this precise and articulate question, we must remind ourselves that all of us are special even when we refuse to accept the mantle. All life is precious and irreplaceable gifts. We are angels given to all the world to sing in perfect harmony. So I have a few questions. What was he saying? I believe we all have a purpose. We must take up our mantle to make a difference and not to waste a precious life that God has given us. What did he mean by perfect harmony? We are different with a different purpose and different tones, but we're all God's angels, no matter how different we are. When we line up different tones while working within our purpose, we place our music, our rhythm, and sync on one accord, in a sense, on cue, in perfect harmony. So do we need leaders or do we have leaders or no leaders that are conducting the world in perfect harmony? Maybe not. I think Mandela's saying, as our Q leaderships articulate, that we probably don't need those, we have leaders at the fabric of society taking up the mantle, making a difference, and making sweet music, leading in perfect harmony. Which brings us to the question of the day. How are we leading in perfect harmony? Are you leading in perfect harmony? Help us with the question, our guest, Vincent Womack, is one of those difference makers, having harmonizing and making sweet music every day, leading where he is. And we'll highlight a person, Vincent, that is leading in perfect harmony and helping bring wondrous joys of music to his community. An accomplished musician, a teacher, Vincent Womack, he's the director of music at James A. Forshay Learning Center, Los Angeles, California. He will share perspectives of music and education and relationships to society. So what we're going to do is after the break, we will bring on a difference maker, Vincent Womack. So try to stay with us. I know we changed mediums this morning because of the weather here in DFW, and we're going to take a quick pause, a quick break, and we'll be back in about 2 minutes or so. So as we have this new testing this new medium, Block Talk Radio, email us or call in to our number here in order to at 310-861-2331 for to chime into the show, ask questions of Vincent or of me. So you're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back. And we're back. Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to On Cue, and I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is to get us on cue with God's will and his purpose, to equip leaders to lead where they are. So follow us on Twitter at Q Leadership. If you have any questions, comments, please click the question button. I appreciate this morning, everyone, abiding the time as we shift meetings this morning because of inclement weather here where the studio is. So, you know, today, music plays an important part in our roles. It reminds us of days of past and creates joys in our lives and make us hopeful for the future at times. You know, and, you know, of course, if I wasn't blessed with the gift of song, but however, I still sing at times, but, you know, just, and maybe not always in harmony, but of course, it is important for us as children of God to align our tones, our own rhythms in perfect harmony with the Lord's will. And really, which leads to the question today, how do we lead in perfect harmony, and how do we become a difference maker? So a virtual applause, I would like to welcome my friend, Vincent Womack. Vincent, are you on? Welcome.
Hey, good morning, Eric. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you really well. Thanks for joining this morning. I know it's early on the West Coast, especially as you had a gig last night. So I really appreciate you taking the time out this morning.
That's exactly right, Eric. It's very early. It's still dark out here, and my house is quiet. But I'm glad to be here with you nonetheless. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Thank you. And I thank you for abiding with us on this short we had the change of mediums this morning because of the weather, but we'll do justice just the same. So, you know, there's a lot we can talk about, a lot of places we can go, and well, one thing I want to start with this morning is to pay tribute not only just to you and to your family, but you know, special lady, especially if one is special to you, your mother. Ms. Womack, who's really made an impact on a lot of people in this in the community that we grew up in, and as well, especially for me, she's one of those at the times that made me become self-aware at times and kind of forced that upon us and become a leader in what we're doing. So I wanted to, you know, say that real quick because I'm sure we may tap on it, but I didn't want to forget that point, and I appreciate and love that lady like no other. So I wanted to share that with you this morning.
Absolutely, absolutely. My mom's so very, very, very proud of you, and she was a teacher, taught seemingly since she was about 14, 15 years old, and teachers are so important to us, coming from where we came from, and we all just really appreciate all that she did to create young men and women.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, thank you for that. So as I start off with every question, every interview or every guest, you know, with this one question, what is that one word that describes you?
Well, you know, Eric, I have been referred to as intense and highly determined, but I just see myself as being hungry. Hungry in terms of I need to feel that I am getting better or doing better every day. It's a daily passion of mine. It's almost as if I'm a little bit paranoid, I guess, but there's just so much that needs to be impacted and so much that needs to be done in all phases of the game every day, not just in work but at home. I just always feel that I'm not doing enough. So I'm always hungry to get things done.
Yeah, I can relate to that because we feel like there's so much, so many ways you can make an impact, so many things, as you said, that can get done. And you know, really just trying to serve. And as you are hungry and making yourself better, so you're making those around you better as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so, you know, we'll pick up some of those a little bit later. I have a second question I've always asked, but I think I probably already know the answer to this one. So if money was no issue, what would you do every day? I got a feeling that you are doing it every day.
Oh, Eric, if money was no issue, you must know I would be catching fish, maybe sitting on the back of a boat while playing a trumpet.
While playing the trumpet. Got it.
While playing the trumpet. I mean, I really love to fish, and I love catching fish. Now, I mean, as we know, I mean, fishing and catching are sometimes two different things.
Absolutely.
But I absolutely love the peacefulness and the solitude in many times of actually being out on the water and just beholding the splendor of nature and the universe and just reflecting and catching fish. I have been addicted to that whole process since I was a very, very young child growing up in Alabama. And that's just something that I need to do.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing what it'll do for you? Because when I go back home, I really, that's what I want to do. And I try to make my two daughters a fisherwomen, you know, at times. So it's kind of backfired at times of trying to teach them patience and so forth. But it's something for me. It's always relaxing, refreshing, just takes me back, just being with nature and all those things you talk about. So I can't wait to at some point we'll be able to connect on a good fishing trip sometime soon, right?
Yes, I'm looking forward to that because I know you have some spots there in Texas that I need to see.
Absolutely. So, you know, as a few weeks ago, we honored JFK, and we kicked
yes.
and we asked the question about, you know, can one person still make a difference? And, you know, I think it's a resounding yes in all cases. And, you know, we're kicking off the series with you about the difference maker. You know, with that, can one person make the difference?
Well, you know, Eric, in almost all cases, everything begins at one. And in regards to making a difference, I mean, why is there a necessity for a difference? Usually there is some source of conflict, some need for change, the problems that exist, and usually solving those problems brings great quality to many. So it's not easy making a difference. So having said that, if a difference is to be made, there has to be a quality perspective. And in many cases, you don't get quality perspective coming from the masses. In many cases, it's that there's a particular flame, there's a particular person that has a perspective that inspires others, and others get great energy, and there's great symbiosis, and then we have a flame, and then we have change, and then a difference is made. I believe it's paramount that one person believes in a vision and believes in a perspective, and that energy is felt, and that spirit permeates through many. So absolutely, one person can make a difference, but I believe that there has to be a great amount of courage, there has to be a great amount of conviction and belief. That will endure, in many cases, whatever you might call them, naysayers and people that might not necessarily want to see the vision be recognized.
So it's what you just shared is so exciting to me, and it's one of the first guests I've had to articulate that point, and even though I didn't ask the question directly. And all those key adjectives that you threw out there really describes what we're talking about, Mandela. But it also begins to describe, you wrap all those things up, it also describes you, and it could allow me to say this, but hungry, restless, there's a lot to be done. And using your gift in order for a meeting to find common ground, as Q Leadership talks about, in order to share a vision. Right? And with that, you answer the question about fishing, but you also playing your trumpet. So that love of music, that love of music has been your meeting, would you say, in order to lead and touch people in your community and your sphere of influence. Would you say that?
I would absolutely say that. Eric, I'm really, really greatly blessed. I know that music in many ways has saved my life. And I think that as humans, we go through this earth and the process that we're in is usually trying to find out what our purpose is, trying to find out what our course is that perhaps we were meant to follow. And music for me has been a constant companion since I was incredibly, incredibly young. And, you know, we talk about all the qualities, all the metaphysical aspects of music that touch people and inspire them. But my course of life, I rarely had to think about what I wanted to do and what I wanted to be. And I'm so grateful that I did not have to use a lot of energy on searching for my place in my corner of the sky.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing to know what your purpose is, what gifts the Lord is giving you in order to impact the world? You know, I believe, you know, I just allow me for a second to take a detour, mm-hmm. as I sometimes will do. As early as possible, all of us, finding our purpose, we can get ourselves in that sweet harmony as we talked about. But my, I, like you, now know my purpose, but I spent half of my life running from it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's always in front of us if we just accept it and see it.
Mm-hmm.
But you were one of those accepted early, embraced it, and now you're just kind of using it for not only just and just impacting people and giving fulfillment not only to your life but to others.
Well, absolutely, Eric. And now here's the thing. See, it's one thing to be a musician and a musician who understands that this is your place in life. But when you become a teacher, music teacher, it doesn't matter, typing teacher, art teacher, physical education, once you become a teacher, everything changes because now you are responsible for bringing perspective to others, and that usually involves so many core principles. It involves things that aren't necessarily related to the discipline you're teaching, but things that will allow that person to confidently find their way. Even as great musicians go through my class and go graduate and go into college, at some point they have to ask themselves, now, hey, you know, I'm playing great music and blah, 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 but what do I want to do with the rest of my life? Well, now comes, well, what are some of those principles that they perhaps learned in music? What are the things that help them in the practice room? Because practicing is life. It doesn't always go the way that you want it to. You don't always get out of it what you got out of it yesterday, and you can't expect to get it, but how do you continue to exist? How do you continue to not regress and digress and maintain and keep moving forward? You know, and so it's all about the process, you know, it's all about the process. And in finding your path, in finding that confidence in that what you're doing every day is what you're meant to be doing, you got to have faith in the process. You got to have belief in the way you are moving forward. And I believe that if you have faith in that, then you will have faith in you're going to get to where you're going. Because when you don't believe in what you're doing anymore, psychologically, that's when you really become defeated. Because, Eric, you know, when you're listening to music, you can hear and you can feel when that performer believes what they're doing. You know, you can feel that confidence. You know, you can feel that special quality. That's what makes people really attracted to music, when they hear that self-belief coming from that stage, coming out of that microphone. And I believe that's a process, too, of relaxing into your performance and just allowing your spirit to soar. That's not always easy, but once you've accomplished that, it is very easy, and it's a wonderful experience.
Wonderful. You know, there's a lot into that, and I'm trying to stay on track, but ultimately I can't leave because you brought up some great points there. And if I were to try to summarize a lot of what you say, it's about the process. It's really not only just for you personally as in walking in your purpose, but how you impact and share that with others is really how it's formed, how it's fostered, and how it's fueled. And, you know, there's a process to do it, and along the way, you have to nurture that gift. You have to put in the time in order to yield its fruits for not only for yourself, for your own growth, but also those that you intend to influence. And so, and how, when you look at describing that love for music, and I think you articulated that, so what's that important thing that you see, as you said, when you have faith in the process of continuing to form and fuel and foster that in others? How's important to making sure that faith stays right in the middle of all what you're doing and how you impact others?
Wow. It has to, there has to be some inspiration, and that inspiration has to come from me. I mean, if we're looking at it from how do I keep, and I help my students to find that confidence, I mean, it's important that students look at the teacher, and that teacher gives them some kind of standard to look up to, you know, that they feel something coming from their teacher. I mean, that's important. You know, as you spoke about earlier, my mom was such an impactful teacher. You know, where we came from, you know, when you looked at that teacher and you listened to that teacher and you kind of felt that that teacher lived a life and carried themselves in a way that inspired you to be a better student. I mean, that's all very, very true. Now, I know I'm looking at this from a romantic perspective, you know, and some may call it old school. But if we're really talking about making a difference, and that's got to be what a teacher always wants to do, and, you know, that teacher has to represent that standard. And I'm very simple. I believe that you got to represent something that is bigger than what kids believe they are, and they have to believe that they want to step up to that level. So that, in a nutshell, I believe is what I'm all about as a teacher.
Well, thanks for sharing that. So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to pick up some of those on the way back. So we'll continue our dialogue here at Leading in Perfect Harmony with Vincent Womack. So stay with us. Can't afford to miss it. So feel free, if you got any questions, dial into our numbers 310-861-2331 for questions. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back. And we're back. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Thanks for staying with us. Remember, our mission here is to get us on cue with God's will and his purpose to equip leaders to lead where they are. We're addressing the question of the day, how to lead in perfect harmony, with our special guest, Vincent Womack. Before the break, Vincent, you were sharing us with not only how using faith, how you understand your influences, your family, and so forth, to really foster and fuel and form your purpose, especially in music. And so, you know, we want to shift gears just a little bit and really talk about who or where were your most memorable opportunity to play and why?
Oh, Eric, I've been so lucky in this life of mine to have gone a lot of places. Because of music, I mean, I've traveled Europe, I've toured Europe, I've been involved in the Olympics, performing with hundreds of people in ensembles. But I, you know, the one thing that comes to my mind, I actually conducted a group of kids for opening night at the Hollywood Bowl here in Los Angeles. I think it was two seasons ago. Gloria Estefan, Harry Connick Jr., they were involved in this, and for me to take that Hollywood Bowl stage with a packed house on opening night, and I stepped up on the podium, and all of those young kids of color took that stage, and being there with them, without a doubt, was the best moment of my career. Truly was.
Truly.
So,
something
in
totally
terms of
different.
Performing.
Not surprised, though. I'm not surprised because it goes to the point of what your purpose is, using this music to inspire others, being that beacon of light for those kids. And I'm sure they won't forget that moment either.
No, never forget it. And you got to realize, see, the students I work with, this is not a music magnet program. I mean, my school, Fauché, it's not necessarily what you would call a special school. We're on the corner of Western and Exposition in Los Angeles. This isn't what you'd call a good neighborhood. So, you know, the whole notion of representing is very big with us. And when we have opportunities, it's important that we take advantage of them because we know that it's not just about us. It's about our younger brothers, our younger sisters. It's about somebody else who's on their way into this classroom who really needs this opportunity. And opportunities usually lead to more opportunities. And it's important how you carry yourself because you never know who's listening. You never know who's watching.
Never know.
Yeah, so a lot of things went into those kids being on that stage that night, and they knew that, and I know that, and so that's greatly why that's most definitely the biggest performance, if you will, of my career.
So it's all I'm gonna pick up on something there, and like I said, I wasn't surprised that you would relate that to impacting kids and something you do every day, and it's so important to keep what you're saying, keep your reputation. When they hear your name or see you, it has to be in a good light to continue to make an impact, to continue to stay within the neighborhood or even wherever you go in the world. One has to know who Vincent Womack, what he stands for, your brand, and it's important to protect that. Can you share a little bit around what are some key elements or why that needs to be done?
Well, you know, as we say, it takes forever to build a reputation. It takes a moment to kill it. You know, we talk about impacting. We talk about motivating. We talk about making a difference. You know, I work with adults as much as I work with kids, you know. And it's the difficult work is not just usually motivating the kids. Usually it's trying to motivate and move the rigid adults. And you need to be consistent because you want to be heard. You know, you don't want to waste time. And so many times in education, you know, if you've been in a place long enough, you feel that, man, I've been there 15 years and I haven't made a difference. I'm still the same place where I was 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And in many cases, it's because you're not being heard. You know, you're not using your voice to articulate or to express the changes that you're trying to make. And I try and share a lot of that process with my students. I try and make them ownership, give them ownership of the program, of the direction that we're trying to go, and what it is we need to be, how we need to be seen to make the differences that we need to make. So it's important that what you say, you believe. It's important that when you say something, you can see it. Because if you don't have a vision, if you don't have a clear understanding of where you want to go, then, you know, you're going to wind up anywhere. I mean, I think it's an old African proverb, if a sailor knows not to which sail to sail, then no wind is favorable. You know, so it's important to know where we want to go, and it's important to be able to articulate clearly where it is and how it is that you want to get there. So that's very important in my view.
You're exactly right. And if you were to walk through or to talk about Q, I hate to bring this back to Q leadership, but it is equally yoked. It is actually helping them understand what success looks like, what is the end game, and what's your role in that. And so, and also in all of this, you know, you've always, any type of change, if you're dealing with adults or young or so forth, you got to show some opportunities for success. I do this in corporate companies all the time. When we do some transformation, you got to find some quick wins, right? You got to show that this is worth doing. And there's nothing like what you were surprised with just earlier this fall, when you were surprised by all, not necessarily just as part of your journey, the fruits of your labor, your impact was recognized by someone we all know. And of course, highlighted on the Queen Latifah show. Can you talk about the experience? Can you share the audience how that came about and being able to play with Alicia and others? So can you talk about that?
Eric, can you believe that? I mean, that's just the most crazy. That's the craziest thing you've ever heard of. But you just summarized it. You know, I don't have any control over what's going to happen to me on a daily basis. But just somehow things start to happen. Our program, I've been teaching at this school for 20 years. And what I believe in now, I believe in the same thing 19 years ago. And about 3 years ago, 2 years ago actually, I'd received a phone call. As it turns out, it was one of the producers of the Queen Latifah show, and they were formulating ideas for their pilot. They needed to put together a pilot episode to try and shop and to show to networks to try and get a deal for the talk show. Well, this producer called me up and just asked a bunch of questions about, my music program and wanted some thoughts from me on what's important to me and how do I lead my students or what have you. And we had, a nice 45-minute conversation, as it turns out. Little did I know that they were kind of shopping to find a music teacher to set up, if you will, and have them come up to the studio to do a little bit of a recording. Well, as it turns out, about a month and a half after that phone conversation, I got a call from Sony, and they said, hey, look, we'd like to come out and talk to you and see if, you'd be interested in bringing your kids up here for a little field trip. I said, well, sure. So they come out. We sit in my band room, and they said, well, look, we've spoken to some people at the school, and they've agreed to handle all the paperwork and deal with things so you don't have to leave the classroom. We want to make it easy for you. But we just love to have some kids come up and see the studio, and maybe we can have you guys into a studio and maybe record a song. Would you be interested in that? Well, of course.
Wow.
I said, yeah, absolutely. That'd be great. And they said, well, great. And so one thing led to another. We had to deal with a bunch of copyright issues in terms of what music we might play and blah, 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 blah. So anyway, now it's the day of the – actually, it's a couple days before the field trip. And my plant manager comes to me and says, Mr. Womack, they found a problem with your room. Now, when he says they, he's talking about the school district or maybe the government. I don't know who they was. But he said they found a problem with your room, and you got to be out of here. You got to be out of here on Monday because they got to come in and fix it. Well, when he told me about it, it was only Thursday. So I'm thinking, my goodness, now why is it I can be here today and tomorrow, but I can't be here on Monday? Well, I had to let it go. I said, whatever. So we had to get everything out of the room so that they could fix the problem. So they didn't let me over to the room. They took out all the instruments and put the instruments someplace. And I said, well, don't worry about it because we won't be on a field trip anyway. Well, we go on the field trip. We get on the buses. Eric, these were beautiful buses. I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, these people are great. So we get on the buses, and we head up down to Culver City. And we get to the studio, and obviously they took great care of us. And at some point, you know, after they showed us some studios and some game shows on the Jeopardy stage and all these places, they said, "Hey, okay, now let's go in and see the studio, recording studio, and you know, maybe we'll make a little music." So we walk up to the studio, and on the marquee, they have my name and the Fauché Band.
Let me tell you something. In lights.
If that had been the only thing they had done, my kids would have been grateful. They were so touched. I was so moved just by seeing that. It was just incredible. Well, as soon as we're starting to come down from looking at our names up on the marquee, the doors from the studio open. Out comes this beautiful lady wearing white. And she's calling my name and calling our names, and it is Queen Latifah. We were knocked out. And it just kept going from there. It was one huge surprise after another, after another, after another. It included, you know, we were about to play in the studio, and Queen Latifah goes, "Look, we have this beautiful piano here. Can I get someone to play it with you?" And so, of course, the kids are like, "Yeah, sure, absolutely." And so she opens the door, and in walks the most beautiful light you can ever imagine. Alicia Keys walks into this studio to play with us. I just can't describe the emotional impact that experience made on these kids and myself. This happened a week before graduation, you should know. And graduation is emotional in and of itself. I mean, it's one of the horrible things that happens to teachers, having to say, you know, "Hey, farewell, and you guys take off now. Our dream together is over." It was a week before graduation, so that was just so much emotion that was existing at that time already. And for this to happen for these kids at that particular moment was really the greatest, the most validating thing of all the years that we had together. So I'm really grateful to Queen Latifah and Sony for that experience, because once again, it validated all the stories, all the moments of difficulty in terms of practicing, and as I spoke about earlier, how you carry yourself, why it's important to represent.
It was all valid. You showed them what success was like. You gave them a taste of early, quick success, so they continue to do that. And I tell you, I will go on a limb to say those students have come through your class, and even that particular class there, when they look back and understand who made an impact, the most impact in their lives, you got to be in the top one, two, or three at the end of the day for those types of moments. And to see you put work in and then to see your fruits of your labor come to bear, there's nothing like that. It is nothing like that. And thanks for sharing that story. It is awesome. So those are listening, if you haven't seen it, I think it's on YouTube that you can go in to see the episode where he's ultimately surprised. So let's talk about that surprise. How long did you stay away? How long did it take them to redo your room, your studio?
It probably took them about 12 hours, 12 to 16 hours.
12 to 16 hours.
Yeah, I mean, it was more like 12 hours. Eric, these guys in the studios, these guys are miracle makers. They could probably build you an entire house in 2 days. I mean, really, it's incredible the relationship that these carpenters and electricians that these guys have in these studios. They came in that band room. They came in late in the afternoon, and they were gone by early morning. So I believe it was about 12 hours that they spent in my classroom. They took out the entire floor. They painted pretty much the entire room. They installed an incredible trophy case. They cleared out pretty much everything that was inside of it. They brought in a lot of new equipment, When we got back from the studio, when we got back from Sony, Queen Latifah was standing in front of our band room door.
Okay.
And she opened the door. She had me come in first by myself. And we opened the door, and I'm telling you, first of all, seeing the room mostly empty was really powerful. But the only thing that was there were these new instruments that Alicia Keys had donated through Yamaha. I tell you, it was really, really, really touching. I mean, we were moved beyond anything. I don't think we will probably experience that kind of moving impact ever again. I just can't describe it. So, yeah, I mean, for the listeners, if you can go on the YouTube or someplace or just Google Alicia Keys and Foshé or Queen Latifah makeover, you can get a chance to see that. But I'm just really, really grateful. You know, these are not the kinds of things you expect to happen. But once again, as I told my kids, you know, if you live your life the right way and you put yourself in the right places, you never know what kinds of things will happen to you. You never know who's listening. You never know who's looking.
You're exactly right, and thanks for sharing that. You know, along with doing the right things, understanding your roles, making an impact, keeping that reputation clear, you know, just really starting with nurturing your craft and so forth. And, you know, along those lines, you know, this gift that Queen Latifah and Alicia Keys gave you, not only just going to impact your students that have graduated, but for the next 10, well beyond when you're gone. Because those new instruments, that new room is always going to have that spirit of that one moment in it. And everyone's going to remember, and everyone's going to be a part of it. And so that's exciting thing when you see, you know, you put roots into something and continue to grow and foster even beyond your years and when you're there. So that's exciting to hear. You know, when I want to shift gears a little bit, and you know, I'm not the person who knows music theory or anything of that nature. I don't know if I can carry it too.
Okay. Well, I think my mother said that you have a very unique singing voice, Eric. I think she said something along those lines. So I'm not buying you don't have this musical thing.
Here's the thing: when you're in fifth, you know, you still can, you know, kind of get up to certain before your voice changed, right? And then, and I fought it. I actually fought it. This is talking about his mother had us singing the Christmas pageant 2 years ago, and I did not want to do it, but she just always had that moment, had that way of saying things even though you didn't want to do it, but you wanted to do it after you talked with her. She just had that way of just pulling you in, right? So and I'm sure you know all about it, right?
You believe I do.
And so to get on stage and ultimately sing in that pageant, it was I won't forget it either. I remember remember the costumes and all. So but you know, along those lines, though, when you have different perspectives, you have different instruments, you have you know, different voices. How important, how hard is to get that harmony together, right? When we start talking about perfecting that harmony, what are those things that you need to make sure that you orchestrate, conduct, in order to bring people aligned in harmony?
Yes. Yes, yes. Eric, harmony, I mean, harmony is life. And when I say harmony is life, harmony is about that relationship between at least two or more sounds happening at the same time. So you got to have supreme teamwork if you are going to establish harmony, and we're talking about perfect harmony here. So it's important that the individual tones, the individual sounds, are as precise as possible, because if there is one sound that is what we call out of tune, then you have created a good amount of dissonance, and that can be damaging. that can be physically damaging as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you'll know it when you hear it, right?
Oh, absolutely. And you can feel it. I mean, things move in the room sometimes when certain notes are combined together. You know, we have these instrument shells, and sometimes if we play a chord and one of the notes in the chord is out of tune, things on the shelf will begin to rattle. I mean, it's very interesting how moving sound waves can be. But dissonance it can be interesting, very interesting.
Well, it begins to rattle, so that brings me some. I'm going to show my nerdness in a second. So, kind of think back. I was a math major, and we think about wave equations and how those things work together, and how ultimately you got to find that right sequence or the right node in order to really get things in tune a little bit. So it's not only when you said that, when you shared that it vibrated the room, it takes me back to experiments, for the lack of a better term, of showing that once these different sounds or different wavelengths or different tones, you'll know it because it will actually just shake the room or shake any type of experiment you have going on, even your music.
Yes. Yes, those physical properties in music, I'm sure in math and physics, I imagine you may have studied sound waves
forgive me for showing my little nerd. My daughter's looking at me like, okay, Dad, you didn't go there, right? So, exactly, had to. So, you know, the key to that and related to, I got a question when you talk about all the different parts and you'll know, related to music, what is tension related to harmony? How do you describe it and how do you use it?
Well, tension from a compositional perspective, tension can help tell a story. Tension can help create a particular mood because, I mean, just like in life, life isn't just one color. And in music, as you're composing and telling a story, you know, you need to have more than two or three colors in the crayon box. And when you create tension, you create an opportunity for resolution to resolve that tension. And when you resolve tension, what does that do? That makes you feel good. So you can create combinations of sounds that create a particular feeling, and it creates an ability to kind of forecast where it might go, and you can anticipate maybe what the next sound might be or should be. And so the process of anticipating where the music might go and the music goes there, that's enjoyable. The process of anticipating which way the tension is going to lead the music, and let's say it does go there or doesn't go there, I think that's all very enjoyable for the listener, and that makes it very intriguing, and that allows them to get a lot out of the whole experience. Does that make any sense there?
Absolutely. Thanks for sharing that. So I want to pick some. I'm gonna pick that up after the break. I really want to take that tension and correlate it to, as you talked about, affecting change, if it's with their adults, with your kids, and so forth. Making that in a way, forming that in such a way that it creates something beautiful, something new, if it's in music or if it's in life. So after the break, we'll continue our dialogue, leading in perfect harmony with our guest Vincent Womack. So stay with us. So if you have any questions, feel free to call in at 310-861-2331 and ask any questions of Vincent or myself. You're listening On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back. And we're back. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Thanks for joining us. Our mission here is to get us on cue with God's will and His purpose, equip leaders to lead where they are. We're addressing the question today, how to lead perfect harmony with our special guest, Vincent Womack. So Vincent, you know, as we come into our last segment, we talked about tension in a sense and how important it is to music and how important it is to really to predict and create the harmony and the sounds that you need. And I wanted to just take a detour for a second and ask you, how does that apply when you're leading people, you're leading students, when you got a tension in the room? But it could be, if you change it and mold it in the right way, it can be so beautiful and get people aligned with your vision, and if it's in the classroom or outside of the classroom.
Well, I have to anticipate, Eric, I have to anticipate things that won't necessarily go well. In leading kids, I firmly believe that we have to expect and understand that they don't do the right thing all the time. That's why they're kids. Even with adults, as I mentioned earlier, in terms of being successful in education, and we need more success, especially in public education, I believe we waste so many resources because we sometimes forget that the problems that we have are the problems we can expect to have. And if we don't expect it, then we can't impact it. You know, sometimes I feel that in public schools we don't expect our kids to come and be poor. We seem surprised that, you know, we have a music program and kids want to be in a music program and they can't afford to have an instrument. You know, we can't be surprised by that. We've got to anticipate that. That's why we are in the positions that we're in. And it seems very simple, but it really is mind-blowing how kind of we get a little bit of a myopic view of our positions in life. You know, we only see what we want to see instead of seeing the things that we really need to impact, the things that we really need to improve upon. In terms of if you want to call it success in impacting kids and impacting adults, I believe it lies in that ability to anticipate problems and tensions, and I think if you can anticipate them, then you can create ways to resolve them and to make change and to make higher quality. Because when it all comes down to it, you know, it's not just about how well do they play, but really, you know, we've got to perform. I mean, we've got to create a product. We've got to be an excellent sounding ensemble. We have to be heard and seen, and people feel good about it. People need to be moved by it, because that's ultimately what our mission is as musicians. You know, it's not just about you getting to play that solo all the time. It's about how we as a team, how we as a group combine our sounds together and move people. You know, we want people to feel good about our school when they hear us play. You know, we want people to feel good about our neighborhood when they hear us play and see us perform. You know, and as you can tell, I'm really excited about this thing, man. I've been doing this for a long time, and I think that leading musicians and helping kids to appreciate music and understand the principles of practicing, I mean, I'm really turned on by that whole process, and I think I'm just the luckiest person in the world to be doing what I'm doing and to have the appreciation for the kids and for the process that I've been lucky to experience here.
Yeah, and you know what you're sharing is that all these elements of confront a certain reality, understanding what you need in order to really form a certain craft, to really foster a certain craft, and to fuel a certain craft. No matter if you're talking about music, or you're talking about sports, or you're talking about business, those core elements are the same. So
yes.
If you decide that they want just to go into music or wherever, but they still have a basis in order to succeed and make parallel to any walk of life they choose to go to. Would you agree with that?
Eric, you're absolutely right. I mean, and if it were not relevant, then we wouldn't need to have music in school. But this is exactly why we got to have music and keep music in school, because it really brings the whole person alive. Because music encompasses all the principles in math and science, and language acquisition. And when you teach that child there are three basic things really when a student comes to me in the sixth grade or what have you. There are three basic things that I try and give them a good perspective of, and that's energy, effort, and enthusiasm. These are what I consider to be the keys to success: energy, effort, and enthusiasm. Energy, you got to be capable. You got to have the power. You got to have the strength to bring about some kind of change. That the piece of effort. Well, more than anything else, you got to have that button that says, "I am willing to use that strength. I am willing to use what I'm capable of. I want to do it." And the enthusiasm is the part that represents joy, that represents enthusiasm, that represents, the great attitude. And I think the enthusiasm part is the most difficult part with young kids. But if you can sell them on being enthusiastic and embracing a good attitude, even when they don't want to, then I think that they're on a pretty good road to being successful in their lives, not just in music, but that goes in every phase of life. Sometimes people complain, and kids love to get into excuses, love to make reasons for why they don't get things done. And that's a very important thing that I try and cut out. Excuses are monuments of nothing that build bridges that lead to nowhere. Those who use these tools of incompetence are masters of nothing. We got to get away from the excuses, because we got up this morning to make things happen, not to talk about why we can't make things happen, but to make things happen. And so the enthusiasm piece, having a great attitude, is really, really paramount for our young men and women. And that's not just about music. That impacts every phase of the game.
Every phase of the game. I'm gonna be a good host, and I'm gonna stop it right there, because I don't think it's any much more I can add and a message that not only just to our adults but our youth about really having the energy, enthusiasm, and effort. And I add a fourth: take away the excuses. Those four E's, right? And
yes.
And if you would think about those things, and you take that no matter where you are, and you add a passion around something, how powerful can we be in impacting this generation, and as well as those that we impact around our own sphere of influence? So, with that, as we come up into our last few minutes, Vincent, is what's next for you? I saw that you had a visitor recently, but I know you continue to, these blessings continue to come upon you. But what's next for you? What are you working on?
Wow, there's just so much going on, and yesterday or the day before yesterday, I had a great visitor into my classroom. You may be familiar with legendary guitarist Eddie Van Halen. I had the pleasure of meeting him a couple months ago, and one thing led to another, and he and his wife, Janie, are just really wonderful people, and they surprised my kids by showing up and brought them a bunch of goodies. Eddie came and played for them and gave us a brand-new Eddie Van Halen line amp from his Wolfgang series. And so, you know, that's more validation for these kids. You in Texas may be familiar with Prof Johnson down there with the Cashmere Stage Band. Does a great documentary on them called Thunder Soul. I've had the privilege of meeting all those guys from that band, and we're working on putting a symposium together here in Los Angeles that teaches the principles of Conrad Prof Johnson and the things that he did involving music and improvisation that made such an impact on so many kids in his program down there in Houston way back in the 70s. You know, we're working on doing that with kids here in Los Angeles. I'll tell you more about that a little bit later. They have another movie that's coming out in the summer. So I'm going to be doing some work with them. But you know, the thing is that I just want to continue to make a difference. I just want to continue to try and provide higher quality of opportunities for the kids in this neighborhood, man. I'm not necessarily happy that there are so many problems that need to be fixed, but I'm certainly happy that I'm in a position where the things that I do with my life every day, I believe, are going towards making a difference and helping provide more opportunities for many people. So I'm just grateful, man. Just very, very grateful. And what am I doing next? I'm just going to keep answering the phone. And I'm going to keep going to work down to James A. Fauché Learning Center. I love myself some Fauché. And, you know, it's what I love to do. And I never want to put more into what I'm going to do than what I'm doing. So here we are, and I'm grateful to God to be here, and I'm just glad.
Amen.
Happy and glad.
Hey, you know, thanks. Where can people find you? I know we have, I don't know if you have a page or anything on Facebook or so forth, or how can they find and track and know what you're doing each and every week or so?
Well, you know, I do have a Facebook page, and we do have a website. You can reach me on Facebook, Vincent Womack at Facebook. We have a website, FauchéLC.org. Let me say that again, FauchéLC.org. Those are two places where you might, if you wanted to contact me in any way or form or fashion, anything I can do to participate or to help illuminate or whatever, I'd be more than happy to do it. Eric Paul, I'm so proud of you. I can't believe it's been an hour. We've been hanging out talking
on
this Saturday morning.
For joining me. I know it's early. I know you had a gig last night. You got to get you some rest, and you got family to tend to, and you got another gig tonight. But I really thank you. We've really been honored to having you this morning, and it's been a definitely a great privilege. And you know, my daughter helps me on my radio show, and hopefully I'm sure she's been listening, because I've always you know, she plays the bass guitar. So imagine a girl picking the bass.
I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, so she embraces it as sometimes I know she got a lot going on, she doesn't necessarily just kind of focus on it, but she plays every Sunday in church and to keep her craft going. But that's my closest I've gotten to music since growing up. But you know, thank you for joining us. Hopefully you'll have you back at some point soon, or if anything that I can do for you in any notion, feel free to reach out, and we're connected now. Pass my love and regards to your wonderful mother, because she's definitely a difference maker herself, and I think everyone who ever went through a classroom would probably say the same thing.
I will absolutely do that, Eric. God bless you, and God bless all your listeners out there, and let's get out there and make a difference any way we can.
Hey, amen to that. Hey, well, thanks, Vincent. Take care, okay?
My pleasure.
So that was Vincent Womack, a true difference maker, and we talked about today of how to lead in perfect harmony. So we're going to take a quick break, and I'll come out and close the show to try to summarize what we have been talking about around leading in perfect harmony. And so feel free to chime in and call at 310-861-2331 if you got any questions. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back in a couple of minutes. And we're back. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Thanks for staying with us. Our mission here is to keep us on cue with God's will and his purpose in order to equip leaders to lead where they are. You know, we're addressing the question of the day, how to lead in perfect harmony. Our guest, Vincent Womack, we were definitely delighted to have him this morning, who's brought so many people from young and old in perfect harmony through his music and also through his mission of really impacting society. And so the question of the day, as I share, was difference maker. Are you one? How to lead in that perfect harmony? You know, music plays an important role in all our lives. It reminds us of days past, great joys in our lives today, makes us hopeful for the future. When you hear the harmony of your favorite song, you'll know when something has changed or off. As Vincent shared with her earlier today, that you'll feel the thunder in the room. You know, just like that song, though, it's important for us to get aligned with a certain tone, to stay in perfect harmony with the Lord's will. And as we started today with the message around Nelson Mandela, you know, really, how do we keep that perfect harmony? Let's take the word harmony. Let's take H, for instance. You got to harbor love, forgiveness, and service, and helping your fellow man, just as we heard from Vincent about really being one to another, being selfish and impacting people. He loved to serve and serve first rather than putting yourself first. Let's take the next letter, A. Associate with others, no matter where they come from. He mentioned earlier about the whole surprise, people expecting kids not to be poor. And once they understand that they are poor in certain areas, you may find people don't want to associate with that person or those set of people. You know, Romans 12:16 said, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty. Associate with the lowly and never be wise to your own sight. So understanding that it is our role to impact the least of us and associate with the least of us as Christ did. He didn't go find the kings and queens and lords when he walked on this earth. He found the least of us in order to move and impact. Let's take the next letter. Repute, a reputation. It is absolutely important to protect your brand, protect your reputation. And sometimes we all make mistakes in our lives. But it's important to, once you think about a reputation, people think about integrity and service and others. But, you know, no matter what your mistake is, you know, Lord can mold your new one. So you just got to go to him. So remember when in the word, when the disciples were increasing in numbers and there's an uproar about the Hebrews because their widows are being neglected. And so the 12 were summoned, a full set of disciples, and Acts 16, is not right that we give a preaching of the word to God to serve the tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the spirit and wisdom, and when we'll point to this duty, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and ministry of the word. So have a reputation in this, of a server and not a divider. You know, I started with the R of reputation, but this one gave us one more, and I got to plug in, resolve tensions. And that's essentially of what disciples did here, to resolve the tension among the widows and find men of good reputation to resolve those things so that the Lord's glory can be glorified in everything we do. So I thank him for that whole notion of resolving tension in order to make something beautiful. Let's take the next letter, meekness. It's tough for all of us, humbling ourselves, being compassionate, not showing compassion, So that's different. Being compassionate versus showing. Being is something you do every day. Showing is something you do once a year, twice a year. It's when you're doing Meals on Wheels, or doing Thanksgiving during the certain times of the year, or passing out gifts on Christmas. But being is doing that each and every day. So being kind, showing humility. Colossians 3:12-14 says, the Lord said, put on them as God's chosen ones, holy, beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if it has complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, and you also must be forgiven. Above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. A meekness, show a level of humbleness and compassion. Also, you can direct correlations I shared earlier today, some of the key words when you think about our one true transformation leader that left this world this past week, Nelson Mandela. Those are some of the words that came out from people I asked. Oh, in harmony, outdo one another in showing honor. Romans 12:10 said, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing that honor. This is not about a race to compete with each other, but rather a race to compete for God's own heart or complete his will. And also in Proverbs, we talked about in 3:9, honor the Lord with your wealth and your first fruits for all to produce. In other words, give him your best. Outdo yourself each and every day by giving him your best. Vincent mentioned earlier today the word that describes him is hungry. It's always, what is the next thing? He's restless and wanting to. There's so much to be done, and he's always trying to improve. So outdo yourself each and every day. So in harmony, it's important. Nurture. Be one to another. Caring for others, nurturing them in a life of faith. This is necessary not only for children in a home, but also, we believe, it's also adults when we think about the church. Under that, nurturing, it's about training. If it's teaching, teachers have a hard job. People have a hard job when you're trying to train and pass on some capabilities to children or co-workers or whomever. Proverbs 22:36, train up a child in the way they should go, even when he's old, he will not depart from it. The next piece, let's not be judgmental when we're thinking about nurturing. You know, accepting no one in weak faith, but personally passing judgments on their opinions is not where we need to be. The next piece under nurturing, encourage. So, you know, Thessalonians talks about, therefore, encourage one another and build up one another just as you all also are doing. So when, in order to move someone from one place or some darkness or sadness or fear, encourage them. Encourage them by the last piece of nurturing, speak truth in love, as Ephesians tells us. And so we always love, I always hear, would love to hear what people say, I'm telling you what the God loves is the truth. But we forget about the other part, the truth in love. So say it in love, not in strife to tear someone down in order to create that perfect harmony. And this last one, the why in harmony, is important. Yield. We lead in God's will to bear fruit, to yield new things. Remember the parable about the sower. And so some seeds were on fertile ground, some seeds were on rocky ground, but then there were seeds that fell in good soil that produced grain, growing and increasing and yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And he said, who has ears to hear, let him hear. It is important to yield, to make investments in our kids and our future and in society in order so we can yield, bear good fruit. No matter what we're doing, we're talking about music, we're talking about politics, we're talking about raising our kids, wherever we are, making sure whatever you're producing is a good fruit and pleasing to God. It's important to stay in harmony, to be on one accord. Philippians 2:2 says, complete my joy. Lord says, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, and being in full accord of one mind. In other words, be on cue with the Lord and his purpose, his will. So I challenge all of us to get on cue with God's will, get on cue with his calling on our lives, our purpose, and get on cue, get others on cue with that purpose and being in perfect harmony. So I thank God for today for this opportunity to share with you through our ministry, Q Leadership, and give all praise to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I thank those who tuned in, and my special guest, Vincent Womack, my producer, Sister Kennedy, my better half, my wife, the young Princess Carson, and my family, my mother, my sisters and brothers and friends, and friends of life and Facebook. I dedicate this show to a true difference maker, Nelson Mandela, who we're celebrating in these coming days for his life he lived and showed us on this earth. If you'd like to be a sponsor, please email me at onq@qleadership.com. This has been On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Until next week.